his light shine bright. Bad boy sitting pretty. Michael Steve Robb running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boy's a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Hey everybody, Matt Michael, Sin City Steve, Rob Bussolari here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. All right, we'll get to it right away with NXT No Mercy, which took place this past weekend. And there we have it, new NXT champion, Ricky Saints. You know, what I love about this is all the people who were just digging in and saying all this crap about, boy, I bet you Ricky Saints is so upset that he left AEW because look at, he's losing all this time and he's doing this. And oh my God, he was NXT North American champion, but then he lost the belt and they got back and they lost the belt. Now he's doing up. It's like the guy was sitting at home doing nothing in AEW at a certain point. You know, here he is, the NXT champion. So for those people who just can't get over that, it's the next portion is, well, he's only the champion of the bottom level company. So it's like, you know, it's like, what pisses me off the most isn't the tribalism in the fact of I like one company, I don't like another company, etc. It's the tribalism of this guy busted his ass to get in a position in which this particular entity trusted him to win the title, right? It should be, you know, the same thing, the performance. Hey, I don't like fucking Adam Page by any means. But do I respect the fact that he's worked his way to get that opportunity? Of course, because he's a performer and that's what it's based on. So, Ricky Saints, new champion of NXT. Looks like Obafemi is on his way up. So, I mean, what do we think?
Well, I think that this was the play. I mean, it was only a matter of time until Oba got called up. Presumably, this is how they're going to do that. Realistically, I don't think that anybody could knock the talent or the charisma or any of the intangibles that Ricky Saints has and has had. Ever since he was involved with the NWA, and he made some waves coming on to AEW TV as part of an open challenge against Cody. And, right from then, I said, this guy's money, regardless of what company he's in. Unfortunately, they chose to keep him at home for a year in AEW and just kind of let him just rot and die on the vine. But now he's being used. Now he can showcase what he can do. And realistically, however you fall on the tribalism scale, I think that you have to give credit where credit's due to Ricky Saints, to everybody involved. And let's be real, Obafemi, dude is a monster. And presumably he goes to the main roster from here. Let's just hope that they don't fumble his main roster run.
Just, you know what? Put him with Paul Heyman.
Dude, I'm totally down for some shit like that. Yeah. Yeah. I'm down for some shit like that. He doesn't even need somebody to talk for him because obviously he can cut promos. He's shown that in NXT. Right. But I mean, the fact is, you know, there's no reason why you can't push him as the next big ass kicker because everybody wants to cheer that unstoppable force. So it's time.
Ricky Saints was always entertaining. As part of Team Taz, he was physically underwhelming following Brian Cage. And at the
anybody would be, though, standing next to Brian Cage.
Right. I mean, and at the exact moment that he wins, he gets injured, and he had the belt. He was playing it sidelined, and he tried to act through it. And it wasn't bad. They teamed him up with Big Bill later on down the road, and that was awful. I don't care what anyone says. That was a horrible pairing. Big Bill has no mic skills. He needs to sit back and shut his mouth, and he needs a mouthpiece. He comes now to the culmination of his best abilities in NXT. My thing for him is this is the best place for him to be right now. And I think he will flourish here. I don't know if he could flourish on the main roster. Let him marinate in NXT for a while. Because some of those guys, that is their ceiling. And I shouldn't even say ceiling. Artistically, they can do more in NXT than they can do on the main roster. So why the hell not? Leave him there. Let him flourish. Let him go over. What was amazing for me as a guy who doesn't care for NXT is watching his debut and how many fans were screaming Ricky Starks. They knew who he was. It is the greatest balance of you got your WWE marks and then you've got your indie people, and it kind of meets in the middle with NXT. So this is good for him. It's strike while the iron is hot. This is what WWE used to never do. It seems like an NXT, they have their finger on the pulse of that indie feel and what people want there. So very good.
All right. So speaking of the pulse and AEW, here we go. And, Blake Monroe, Jordan Grace in the cage. I think that the general consensus is that Blake Mariah May Monroe is 10 times better when she's in a hardcore situation. Stop it, Rob. Not that kind of hardcore situation. Okay.
A guy can dream.
That's right.
But, you know, it seems to be that, you know.
My safe word is sloppy.
It's also your nickname, too, I hear.
Sloppy toppy, it's the only way.
But, you know, this is something that's, unique, again, I think, to have a beautiful woman who her hardcore aspect is more of something that plays because it's almost playing against the character, you know, and then to have a juggernaut literally in the ring, it doesn't hurt Blake to lose that match because Jordan is such a strong athlete. So you kind of were able to showcase both in that big buildup to get to this point of that feud. Not a bad way to go in terms of now you can have them hopefully break apart, no more of this, and move on with both of them.
The advantage of being in NXT is you can also start with a clean slate. Because she has a new name, because she could develop and break off from the pretty girl persona and evolve into something completely different. She is not bound.
Wait. She hasn't evolved into something completely different because, Steve, you would justify the fact that she was a psycho bitch in AEW with the fucking...
Absolutely. Well, she's got the we'll get to that.
She's got the military gear on. She's got the boots. She switched it up for the cage match. She's looking like, D-Von and Bubba Ray there, the way they're dressed up. She can do whatever the currents will take her. That's the beauty of NXT. It may work for her to do a pivot. Not saying a 180, but a pivot. would not necessarily hurt her character. And then if she wants to, you know, sit on my face wearing lingerie, I mean, that's something that can happen. And I would not be upset with that because that would still be in character for her. I live in Las Vegas.
I wish, I mean, if she would sit on your face just wearing jeans, that would be fine. Because, you know, my ill Murphy would say,
that's, you know, that's okay too. I live in Las Vegas. It's not hard to find me. You know, I dress up as Donald Trump sometimes. You might like that, you know.
You also randomly push shopping carts down the street. So, you know. It's perfect for her weapons match. She's like, oh, I like that guy. He's pushing a shopping cart.
Huh? Kendo's. I got your Kendo stick right here.
You know, get Blake Monroe as far away from Jordan Grace as humanly possible, please. I think that was the biggest knock that people have had on her run so far in NXT is it smelled a whole lot like what was done in AEW with her and Toni Storm. She turns heel on somebody, gets into a pretty hardcore feud with said individual, and then loses what ends up being the blow-off match, or so we hope. Realistically, I know that they did the almost a shot-for-shot remake of some Sabrina Carpenter stuff, right, according to the internet. So, I mean, you know, I think that if they go down that route, obviously, you know what you have in that instance. Matt, I think that you brought up a great point, actually, in the juxtaposition between, you know, her persona and honestly just how beautiful she truly is, and mixing that with the hardcore aspect. She's not afraid to get in there and, you know, to bleed, or, you know, to mix it up, get weapons involved, and play up those, you know, those no DQ, those hardcore aspects. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here with Blake Monroe. But yeah, get her away from Jordan Grace as much as possible, please.
Yeah, I think.
And I don't want to say that as a negative for the match, for, you know, for Jordan, for Blake. It's just too close to it being the last thing that was done at the last place she was. And now you start her off with something very similar. It smells very, very, very similar. So that's all I was saying. Nothing negative on either of the two performers.
But that could also be done purposely.
Absolutely.
We're getting those people over that are used to that style of wrestling. Yeah. We want to copy other promotions in NXT, if at all.
You could say that.
A little. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that if it's going to all lead to a better result, which will be that we're going to drag more asses away from AEW and TNA. TNA maybe not as much, but all these
TNA is whitelisted. They're fine. They're the good guys. They're the good alternative. You know, anything to drive people away from the pissant T-shirt company.
Right, but if we want somebody to pick a show that's not main roster, we're going to go NXT first.
Absolutely.
So let's give them a style of wrestling that they might be used to. How many cage matches are you going to see in WWE on a random week?
None on TV.
Or on a PLE.
You're going to be more apt to see them on a PLE.
Yeah, but the answer to that is that outside of Hell in a Cell and War Games, right? Let's even say the Elimination Chamber, right? So those are the three big PLE, big cages they use. Outside of that, maybe two or three in a year, right? Yeah. They don't go to them very often. So, all right. So, you know, you mentioned TNA. TNA last Tuesday had this huge list of TNA stars come into NXT, including Eric Young, Joe Hendry, Moose, Cardona, Steph, Mance, Zaya, Macklin, etc. That, of course, led to Invasion, or now as we know it, Showdown, which is going to happen on October 7th. So tonight they set it up. These are the men's team and the women's team for NXT versus TNA next week. And the women's team for TNA, Kalani Jordan, is the TNA women's champion right now. So that's why she is on that. It looks like that men's one is, you know, it, this is the one I've been waiting for, is the moment that Leon Slater and Javon Evans get in the ring together. They are almost cookie cutter carbon copies of each other. Just amazing high flyers and just rubber band dudes who I think it's going to be just amazing to see those two start flying around. And before we even get to that, Moose said the partnership between WWE and TNA was way better than anything AEW ever did. A quote, "I think this is the best relationship TNA's ever had, way better than the one we had with AEW. Both companies actually respect each other." So, you know, there's a lot going on with this buildup to have TNA come in and face NXT. Also, don't forget, too, we're going to see the Hardy Boys on that show challenge for the NXT championships, tag team championships, which almost guaranteed they're walking out with those belts, wouldn't you say?
Hmm. I mean, it would make sense. When is their match with the Dudleys?
November, I think. October. Okay. November.
Realistically speaking, yeah. If that's when that match is, I could easily see them walking in with both the AEW, the TNA, and the NXT tag titles for sure.
Have they ever won the NXT tag titles?
No, and that's why I think.
No. That makes
sense. Yeah, that would make all the sense in the world, and I mean. You know, you mentioned, quite frankly, Matt, the two highlights, two of the highlights of the, you know, the two rosters there, the two teams. Javon Evans is criminally underappreciated. I know why they're, you know, delaying his pushes or, you know, whatever the talk is online. Everybody's complaining about him constantly taking the falls and only being in certain matches to take the L. And the retort that everybody always gives, oh, well, he's only 22 or whatever it is. But the fact is that's the timetable that WWE is working with now. They are not pushing younger talent in the broad scheme of things. You will get a few that are pushed. But if you'll notice, a very large chunk of your WWE and NXT champions tend to be older, more seasoned people, which lends itself well to TV, lends itself to promos, lends itself to reliability and recognition. So, I mean, I understand it, but sure. But at the end of the day, it will be very interesting to see what those guys are capable of. And it does make me laugh. You probably caught me laughing when Moose said what he did about the AEW and you know, the WWE partnerships with TNA. I was a big critic that they did not use that partnership to put anybody over in TNA. If you
look, it was one-sided.
Kenny Omega held that championship and he lost it to who? Christian Cage. Oh yeah, that's a great TNA talent right there. Awesome. So I get what he's saying there. At the same time, yeah, Moose is definitely pining for that WWE contract.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I mean, it's smart. It's good business. Yeah. It's good business for him. You know, get that lucrative deal, get you that big payday, and you know, pull
the problem with that is just hang Moose out. Is another mush mouth. He is another guy with no freaking ability to speak. He speaks with a lisp. He does. And he does. You know, Cody does. And you know what? What happened? MJF went after him for it. And you can tell little by little, they must have been working with Cody to have a speech coach because the lisp is slowly disappeared over the years. But Moose is a mush mouth. Roman Reigns was a mush mouth. And what did they do? They paired him up with Paul Heyman. Roman Reigns got better. He can now stand on his own with a microphone. If you put Moose out there, you've got to pair him up with somebody. You've got to have somebody there to hype his ass up. That's the whole point of the system. You got a bunch of guys around him. We're going to have some fucking mic work ability and who can make him look a little bit better when they present him. Because he comes out there and goes, I'm the champion. I see the look, Steve. I'm the champion. It's like you expect his tongue to roll out of his skull.
Who else is in the system again? Can you please refresh my memory?
The system, Eddie Edwards.
Okay.
Eddie, well, yeah, he's a Fandango. Yeah, never mind. Fandango's not bad. And then you've got, and then I forget the other dude's name, but he's decent.
It's Brian Myers.
Realistically, though, not a stable known for great mic work.
No, but...
Well, and Alicia Edwards, and that's the one who kind of kicks off everything. So, yeah, of course not.
But in any event, yeah, I mean, as we've learned, though, unfortunately, WWE only uses one manager. And unfortunately, that's the case. I mean, gone are the days of taking a big, foreboding specimen who unfortunately can't speak, you know, great dissertations and put them with somebody who that's their strong suit is getting on the microphone, cutting great promos. You won
five seasons when you had MVP.
Exactly. And that's the unfortunate thing is, you know, who would you put him with in WWE or NXT realistically?
Either way, if he was in AEW, it would just be put with Don Callis and that would do.
Of course.
Anyway. So.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think they would put him with either Stokely down the road.
But those guys are not good managers.
No, they're not. That's
the point. The point Steve is making is justified. Professional wrestling and managers do not go together anymore. You have to be a talker, and that's
the point. Sadly, it's sad.
Yeah, and also, by the way, Rob, if you don't know, we are friends with Moose, and he will hear this. So,
All the other people that you've talked shit about probably wouldn't hear the show. Let's be real, but Moose.
I'm just glad
that it's you saying it and not me. That's
Rob Bocelleri, who will be appearing at Neck & Neck's Comedy Club this Thursday.
You know what's going to happen now? There's going to be some freaking questionably light-skinned white black guy gets the shit kicked out of him.
Yep.
My name is Robin Puff. Fuck, I'm gonna mush off.
Now you cannot wait. I cannot wait until you start a set, Rob, and then next thing you see is Moose in street clothes, fucking spear your ass out of nowhere, do the flip, literally the best spear in the entire business. Yes, I said that. Moose does have the best spear in the entire business. Agreed. So the only one that's close is Bron Breakker, but.
Right.
This is what I was going to say. That's my favorite spear.
Yeah.
My least favorite is Jey Uso. It just looks like they just threw it. They just gave him the spear.
They just gave him the spear. Yeah. Because it's in the bloodline, bro.
Right. All right.
Well, then Jimmy needs to do a spear.
So now NXT is going to go against Dynamite's title Tuesday on Tuesday, October 7th. And, you know, this week, Tony Khan, important announcement, and it was just to show Renee Parquette's titties. I mean, two titles for the.
Did you say Parquette?
Parquette.
Whatever, fucker. And Moxley.
What the fuck?
And Moxley. Wait, you were talking to me about Moose. I'm going to call Moxley up to go protect me
from
Moose. Thank you. You just saved my ass.
I would be afraid of John Moxley.
Yeah, even Moxley knows that his wife's last name is ridiculous. It's fucking French. Who cares? Tag team titles. All right. So
women's tag team championships. And dare I say,
used to sell stuff to you at Fry's Electronics. I'm just saying, I might have a problem with Moose. If you can. And by the way, John, for what it's worth, you are one of the best talkers in this modern era, and your ring work is incredible. I am a big, big fan. Big, big fan. So when you come back to Vegas, you know, and I'm doing a mic. I, You name a price, okay? If, you know, we can work it out, like payment plans, you know? whatever has to be
fucking,
done.
Fucking Klarna. Jesus.
Credit care credit. I need care credit right now.
Pretty much, dude. I need care credit. But realistically, women's tag team championships, you know, dare I say, somebody may have made a bet about that last week. Yeah, and like Scoop says, Rob, you got to affirm that shit.
You got
to affirm that shit. Yeah. But yeah, last week, Matt, can you do your magic there for a sec?
Yeah, we are doing the magic. All right, since this is Steve over under.
All right, so I stated after the announcement that Tony Khan had a big announcement that it would in fact be the AEW Women's Tag Team Championship titles. And sure as shit, they rolled those out. And we're already starting to see teams kind of pairing up. My thought is they'll probably have this tied in with WrestleDream in some way, shape, or form. They'll probably have some sort of a tournament that is ongoing up through the show in St. Louis in about 3 weeks' time. That would not surprise me whatsoever. But for this week's over-under, and it just so happens that, on the 7th, we said that there would be a nice little head-to-head action there, even if the graphic is out of date because the event's name is now changed to Showdown instead of Invasion. Gee, I wonder why that happened. Before then, as we know, they love to build up those episodes. So with this week's episode of AEW Dynamite, I think that what we're going to see is by the end of Dynamite this week, we are going to know 5 segments at minimum. So take the over of 5 segments that we will know leading into Dynamite Title Tuesday, because strangely enough, whenever they're going head to head, they pull out all the stops. Yet when they don't think there's anything head to head, it just seems to be like a regular complacent episode of Dynamite. So this week had a little bit of a drop in the ratings number, but I could see them rebounding. And
I have a bone to pick, though. I can't believe that AEW is counter-programming the NXT program. It makes me so mad.
You know, I was surprised as well. So ultimately, what I'm thinking is that that they had to do the layout, because when they were kind of going over things in the lineup, oh, that's dope. Josh says that he's going to be at Title Tuesday. That's awesome, man. Enjoy that show. That'll be fire, man.
Yeah, it's just remember, it's not on Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly. And when they made the announcement on Dynamite that Collision would actually be taking place on Wednesday, Dynamite would be on Tuesday. Yeah, instantly my eyebrow kind of popped up a little bit. I was like, what the fuck is this shit? And for as much of a stink as everybody made about WWE counter programming AEW, and now we come to find out that AEW is actually the company that's going to be doing the counter programming in that particular week. It hasn't worked well for WWE the last 2 times that they've done it, and I don't think that it's going to do well for AEW when they counter program NXT. Because keep in mind, NXT is on broadcast television. Say whatever you will about it, the CW is in more homes than any of the Turner properties, and that's on a consistent basis. That should tell you just how clutch this CW distribution deal was for NXT, and quite frankly, how it could be for TNA
if
they get the rumored deal.
It's a spoiler. It's a spoiler. We want to peel off as many people as we can. We
know absolutely.
They're going to take a, they're going to take a low. They know that.
Yep.
If they get anywhere near 700K, they're going to be happy. Doubt that would happen. But if they could peel off 100K, anything that they could get, it's probably petty programming, but you know, we're in the mud. We've been in the mud for a few years now. Yeah, I would say since Cody's gone, they've been in the mud.
There's what's going to happen is this guy's going to come out and he's just going to burn everyone.
I love that fucking flamethrower, by the way.
I marked for the flamethrower. I did the first time that he came out with the pink jacket and then this time as well. And you got to love Moxley tripping over the stairs as he's backing up and then quickly trying to sell it as, oh my God, I'm scared of this shit, as opposed to, oh, I just fucking bit it right here on these stairs. That was
wow. Wow. I thought I was in trouble with Moxley.
No, I mean, he tripped over the fucking stairs and it was comedic. So he did what any good heel.
Okay, Moose. Now I'm going to talk to you, man. Man talk right now. I got John Moxley in my corner. The care credit went through, man. I didn't even need a firm, okay?
Yeah, well, you guys can have your Moxleys and your Mooses in my corner. I got this guy. Orange Cassidy is back. And, I wish...
And that means Danhausen's not far behind. He'll find a way.
If only, but that ain't gonna happen, bro. That ain't gonna happen. We won't see Danhausen again on AEW TV, I don't think. Mm. Unfortunately.
No, because Tony doesn't know who that is.
Yeah, pretty much.
If Danhausen showed his face backstage without the makeup on, Tony would be like, Oh, are you visiting? Nice to meet you.
Are you here for extra work?
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Let me see this resume. Mr. Housen. That sounds familiar for some reason.
All right. So that's what's been going on. And then we get this. I can't keep doing this. It's affecting my family. This isn't the first time it's happened before. So I got to go, man. I don't know if I'm going to come back. Adam Copeland saying that to Christian as they kissed and made out backstage. And then the internet went crazy. Because people are fucking morons and they don't understand what a fucking shoot is versus what fucking kayfabe is. They don't understand acting versus reality. And so when Edge comes back to do Cena's final match, Steve, I got a feeling that Cena won't be the only one you can't see.
Exactly. And, you know, I find it funny that... you know, realistically, the explanation, in case you're curious, is that Copeland is actually taking time away to go film, I believe it's a new season of the Percy Jackson show or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah, I don't keep track of that. I'm sorry for my ignorance when it comes to that. But at the end of the day, that's what he's doing. He's going off to film some things, as is MJF. So I'm sure we'll talk about that, but.
No, I think MJ's dead. LaToya might be in the Percy Jackson.
But
does the F stand for? He usually has something.
I ain't going there. I ain't going there.
He usually has something.
For what? For MJ?
Yeah. What's the F stand for then?
Oh, MJ Freaky.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah,
but I find it funny that he cut that promo with about as little acting ability as any one person could. It was extremely deadpan. Yeah. It was,
which is perfect for Percy Jackson.
I don't know if I can do this anymore, man. This is my family. Blah blah blah, and it's like, all right, bro. All right, that's cool. Go take some time away.
You're trying to tell me Beth Phoenix is that fucking fragile? That's the kayfabe you're going to go with?
Dude, everyone in the match got hit with a fucking spike pile driver and got back up. Fucking Adam Copeland himself got hit with a spike pile driver, two shatter machines, kicked out, and then hit a spear for the finish. What the fuck? Like,
I can't do this anymore, man. We won that match. I know, man, but like my family.
So,
all right.
And I literally thought, Steve, you were just quitting the show. Like, that was a perfect deadpan. Like, you just stop. All of a sudden, you're just like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Well, shit. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, let's get on to Trump.
All right. Well, in that case. All right.
He said he was MAGA, but he wasn't that MAGA. Okay. We're going to make the show great again. Okay. We're going to make wrestling great again. And we're going to do that by having Donald Trump and Blake Monroe in a steel titty match. Okay. Steel titty match. Oh, he's back now.
You have my attention, Mr. President.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to have to send Secretary of War Pete Hegseth over there to round up the generals and give a rousing speech about how we're going to make wrestling less gay. There has been too much equity in wrestling, okay? And now we have to worry about, oh, we pissed off the black guy who doesn't even have a real name. They named him after a barnyard animal, and I've got to worry about that, okay? This is so sad what they're doing to me. This is so sad. And Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Nuclear War, okay? He's a second. We're not just doing wars anymore. We're doing nuclear wars, okay? I don't like nuclear wars. I think they're expensive. I think they're very messy. But he's going to bring them back in such a tremendous way. And if anyone doesn't like steel titty matches with Blake Monroe, we're going to have to deport you. We're looking into it. We're going to look into sending you to West Uganda. As far as we're concerned, though, it's going to be Donald Trump and Blake, some call her Mariah May. And we're going, you know, she's going to have to, it's going to be a stripping match, okay? The first one who gets naked wins. And then after that, there will be mud wrestling and gravy. Okay. It's going to be like WWE circa 1998. There's going to be gravy mud wrestling. And this is going to be tremendous. This is going to be a match like never before seen. It's going to be a great experience. Okay. It's going to be, yeah. In fact, I'm going to be at Titty Tuesday as well. Titty Tuesday at AEW. And I'm going on a private jet. Okay. You know, I don't get to travel on private jets a lot lately. It's not a good look, they tell me. But I'm going to be on a private jet, and I was told to bring a snow globe. I don't know what that means. I don't know quite what that means, but I'm going to bring Mr. Khan a snow globe, and it's going to be Titty Tuesdays. And quite honestly, nobody has better tits than Donald Trump. Believe it. Believe it. I've got the very best tits, okay? These are tits like, no, people tell me all the time, Donald, those are some beautiful E cups, okay? Those are spectacular titties. Spectacular. I've got tassels on right now. Believe me. Solid gold tassels, okay? You love it. He loves it. Steve loves it. You know, maybe, you know, I'll autograph them for you. Low price, $29.99. And you can have one of my golden nipples.
He would never sell his autograph for $29.99.
$2,999, okay? Okay, Mr. Michaels, Mr. Communist Michaels, Mr. Antifa Michaels, okay? Was that what Matt stands for? Matt Antifa? Is that what the Matt stands for? So sad.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm currently doing this broadcast from Portland, so...
And that's why we're going to be sending in the National Guard, the Marines, and we're looking into, we're going to send in Renee Paquette's husband. We like Renee. She's an American now. We're going to send in Johnny. We like Johnny. He's a real, true, red-blooded American patriot. Okay.
You know he's red-blooded.
He's not named after a barnyard animal. His name is just John. It's just John. Okay. And you know what? We could even let him work at a university because he's also a dean. Okay, think about that. Think about that. You could have him at your universities. They call him Dean John Moxley. Think about it. Think about it.
Okay.
Back to you, Steve, because I don't know. We got Matt Antifa Michaels. I call him Mammy. Mammy Michaels, Matt Antifa Michaels.
This week on SmackDown, we had a little incident here.
Like three incidents.
I mean, you know, a three count that shouldn't have been a three count, obviously. She apologized. I see all the love. I'm just a human, but I can promise that I strive to always be better, which will forever be my goal as long as I'm on this journey. I love this just like y'all. I can swear to you. Charles Robinson here pointed out, he said general on what happens if a wrestler doesn't kick out. Said, I'm counting out loud for one thing so they can hear it. And a lot of times I will say kick out when I get down there so they know to kick out, because sometimes guys forget. In our defense, because people say they don't kick out, count three. Well, if you know that's not the finish, guess what? Mentally, you're going to swipe, and we are not counting. It's not real, you know, so it makes much more difficult to do that. Either we are going to count all the time and you just kick out or not, which would end a lot of matches quickly, or we just, when they don't kick out, we just try to fix it somehow. That's a great point. Then we also have people saying that Nia Jax should have to eat a pin to every fucking person in the roster for what she did to Jade on purpose. Chelsea Green, defender, said the internet not knowing that Nia is one of the best is the biggest travesty. We're lucky to have her as a locker room leader. And, of course, the wonderful photos of Jade's.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Wow, man. SmackDown for being an uneventful main event. Jeez. And Tiffany Stratton retained. So
obviously.
There we go. So what do you guys think about Nia opening up Jade and then also the refs three counting? And Rob has his arm up.
All of the people involved in that match are to blame.
It's because you're seeing Jade's gash, right?
All of the people in that match are to blame but Jade Cargill. In my assessment, the ref could have interfered or interjected somehow. I didn't mean to say interfered. I meant to say interject. And I think also Tiffany Stratton could have tried to do something to maybe try to break up that situation, grab her by the head, bash her skull in, do something to ad lib, you know.
Your skull was already bashed in.
No, I'm not talking about Jade Cargill. I'm talking about Nia Jax. When that three count's happening, and again, Nia Jax, to me, fucked up not once but twice, because I don't see how you're blaming the ref on that one. I don't know. I don't know what you do in that situation. What do you do in that situation? Called
as a shoot. Called as a shoot, brother.
Just 1, 2, 3, drop the three count.
1, 2, 3, call it.
Yeah. That's, yeah, it was sloppy on all ends. I know that, and I remember when I was at Versus Pro Studios, they would say that a lot of those matches are being called by the ref in their earpiece. They're getting all of their instruction on an indie one, not so much. You might be getting a call from, like, I know, like with a Brock Lesnar match back in the day, Paul Heyman's shouting out half of his match, half of his move. Pin him, Brock! Do this at five now! And you're going, oh, he's just saying that just to hype. No, he's calling it. He's genuinely calling it. in this instance, you're gonna try to defend Nia Jax as a locker room leader when you split somebody's skull open. You're not talking about Cody Rhodes is trying to, like, you know, collect scars to look cool. This is somebody who's a fitness model who's going to want to come out the other end of this looking like a fitness model. And now she's going to have a permanent scar on her face. And those types of injuries, you're not going to be able to perfectly. That's going to take a lot of plastic surgery, a lot of money, a lot of time gone. For what? Because you're throwing her. And again, do I think she did it deliberately? No. But I remember when she took Kairi Sane and just launched her ass into the turnbuckle corner and almost snapped her damn neck like a twig. She's a slap artist. Now,
she has gotten better though. I've been one of the biggest Nia Jax detractors. But realistically, before this, like since she's been back, she has had no real issues that I can remember.
You're going nuts about her match with Becky Lynch. That I think it was a ladder match, and you guys said, "Oh, this was great. This is great." For somebody who does more harm than good, no goddamn mic skills to speak of, she's really just obnoxious. She doesn't to me. And again, you could be her best friend, and now I've got her and Moose coming after me. But she's another example of somebody that needs somebody to come out for her. She needs a Paul Heyman type. And they need that in the women. They need a Paul Heyman, and they have that with Caden Carter. You need, or I who's the one speaking for Julia?
That's Kiana James.
Kiana James. So they need somebody for her because they need somebody to make sure that she's going to be safe. They need somebody to go out there and speak for her. They need somebody that if you're going to keep putting this woman out there and your goal is to put her over as a heel or as a babyface, that she's going to have basically training wheels. That's the way I see it with her. Now, as far as the ref, I watched it and I went, what the fuck do you do with that? Yes, she should have dropped the hammer on there. And then she does another, you know, prettiest moonsault. And I'm going, but again, what is Nia Jax? So she goes, what am I supposed to do? You could see she's completely confused. Yeah. And then she does that lame. She tries to get up anyway. My thing is, if you're the champion, I'm Tiffany Stratton. I would have dragged her head off the damn mat and just started ramming her head back into the mat and then yelling at her, do this. That would have put her over. There was the famous one with that same ref that you had on before where Jericho's going, he's hurt, you jerk. And then he pushes the ref. He pushes him. There had to be some improv going on from one of those people, but the idea that Nia Jax didn't know to kick out, it just none of it made sense to me. It was, and this isn't the first time because we saw the same thing with Seth Rollins and with Damian Priest, where that count was like, whoa, you know. Do the old fail. Okay. Oh, I'm not giving you the three count yet. Oh no, fuck you. I'm gonna torture you more. I'm that egotistical. I am the prettiest, blah, 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 blah. It's Tiffy time. I'll drag this out. Do something. I don't want to put this on the ref's back. I get it. She should have dropped the hammer, but at the same time, there was blame all the way around. The only one to me who was completely, you know, at no fault was Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill took what bumps she had to take. She got thrown out of the ring. She did the rollout perfect.
Did someone say bumps?
Shame. Yeah, I know. But she did a good job, and she is improving. She is improving. They're still doing those backstage promos because she's not ring ready to go out there and cut a long promo, but she was improving. I hope that she gets healed up as best she can, and they can try to salvage that situation facially for her, but I hope she comes out with a new edge that you can take something out of this.
He's going home to be with his family.
Yeah. But I hope that Jade Cargill could come out and try to incorporate this or enroll this into something better, and get a push off of it.
Absolutely. Really quick. Can I just throw something in really quick? Sure. Sorry. I didn't expect Rob to, you know, take the entire time we were talking about that match. But in any event, props to the ref, because obviously a lot of the blame, and everybody's been grilling her online. So I didn't see that social media post. So props to her for taking ownership and yes. saying that she's going to be better. So absolutely just a lot of respect behind that. I will also say the ref was actually the one, like if you go back and you watch it, immediately after the whole thing happened, she tells Tiffany, you can even see, you know, read her lips. She says moonsault. So immediately, like she told Tiff, like, let's go home. Let's just end this bullshit, get it over with. And so that was called by the ref, corroborating what you had mentioned as well there, Rob. But yeah, props to her for owning her mistake. And that actually goes a long way with fans that either, you know, are not familiar with the product, are very passive with things. But yeah, being human and owning up to something that she truly was at fault for, absolute respect completely.
Okay. Quick note on Raw. Rayo and Bravo, the newest members of the Los Americanos on Raw. So Rayo Grande Americano.
And they're gross. British.
It's fucking great. It's good shit.
Who do we got under the mask? It's Tyler Bate and who else? Is it Pete Dunne's under there
yeah.
too?
Yeah.
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 And he cut his hair short so he wouldn't be obvious. And...
I mean, that let's be real. If you're looking for a workhorse kind of a faction in WWE, you can't get too much better than Ludwig Kaiser, Pete Dunne, and Tyler Bate. Let's just be real.
Exactly. It's amazing. It's amazing. Hey,
I thought it was going to be that American tag team with those two brothers, but.
No, there's no Reed.
They're gone.
Creed brothers.
Yeah, the Creed brothers.
AJ Styles says, I will definitely retire within the next year. I don't want the fans to see me as anyone other than AJ Styles. Main reason I've decided to retire before my body can no longer move. So that's some pretty important news. Also, Io Sky is going to be doing a match in Japan with Iwanatani. October 26th, Marigold Grand Destiny. So, Sean Ross Sapp thinks it's going to certainly be one of the best matches of the year. So we got a lot of that going on. And then this young lady, Jasmine Nix, is no longer with NXT. Bully Ray, thought if Jasmine Nix would have trained, at a wrestling school, wrestling would have been her passion, her dream. She's most likely would have stayed and grinded it out. He thinks that wrestlers, they'll accept the grind to chase the dream, but when you get pulled from a sport or another area, it's not the same. You have to have the burning sensation in you. Okay, well, we'll leave up Bully's burning sensation. Jasmine Nix says, basically, it was a personal decision. The contract they offered her for 3 years just wasn't going to cut it for her financially. Good decision in the end.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, everybody just leaped to the assumption that she's going to be starting one of those pages, which if she does, and let's be real, the money that has been made by former, WWE and NXT women has been outstanding. What Cora Jade said that she's made more in a month than most high-end WWE talents have made in a year. It's pretty substantial. So we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be her only fan.
I think a lot of people will.
MVP believes WWE is putting too much emphasis on profit and pricing out grassroots fans. I'm weighing my words here because I want to make sure I say this the right way. I think that there has been emphasis on profit with the increasing corporatization of one side without regard for the fans who help make the company what it is. Sadly, I think it's happened in not just wrestling. I think AEW, we're still very concerned about grassroots fandom at the end of the day. It's all business. Professional wrestling is a business. And you can see, you can have your artsy and your artistic take, but you can't forget that it's a wrestling business. If no one's buying tickets, no one is turning in to see your shows. If no one's buying your pay-per-views, which even that model is going out the door, then there's no place for you to do what you want to do. So you got to remember the business aspect of things. However, I question maximizing profits to the point where you price out those grassroots fans. We've been there from day one. Okay. My problem with this is that if AEW had the fan base, they would be doing the exact same thing because they're a fucking business.
Of course. Absolutely. Absolutely. Keyword being business. But yeah, it, you know, this is something that we've discussed on this show. The ticket prices, for Mania are absolutely fucking insane. And if you're not aware, just to get in the door at Mania in 2026, just like 500 level seats going to cost you about $800 per night.
Unless you wait, I'm going to wait.
Unless you wait, which that granted that worked extremely well for us this past year. The group that I was with, yeah, we waited until for night two, we got our tickets on day one of WrestleMania. So we got our tickets literally the day before night two. So yeah, there's a different strategy that's going to be employed by a lot of people, but yeah, ticket pricing and everything has gone up. I went to a Nine Inch Nails concert in Seattle in August, and I paid for GA Pit. I paid upwards of $300, and it fucking blew my mind. I thought that I was, you know, I thought I was the one that was way off base, but I did a lot of research, and it's this way with everything, with concerts, with pro wrestling, with
those ticket bastards. Know, anything, I mean, anything. It's a lot of these companies. They're milking it, and people are. And but here's the thing: MVP would be right, but people are buying the tickets anyway, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. He's not right because people are buying the tickets.
People are still buying the tickets. So until you get to a point where people stop buying the tickets, they're just going to keep really bringing those prices up.
He can't afford to go to WrestleMania. That's the problem. AEW's not paying him enough to go to WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's fucking scary, dude.
Yeah, it is what it is. And, you know, what are we going to do? Well, I know what we're doing. We're going to take a little social media dump here. All right. So, Peacemaker, the dance emote from Fortnite has been disabled after the episode 6 twist of Peacemaker revealing that it was Earth X, the Nazi dimension. The pose and the dance is now being interpreted by fans to represent a swastika. Fortnite released the following statement: as we inquire into our partner's creative intentions in this collab emote, assuming it's not coming back, we'll issue refunds for the next few days. I mean, EarthX is a Nazi dimension, so is it a big deal? I don't understand.
I don't give two shits.
Okay. Well,
People get way too fucking bent out of shape about this shit.
There's a game called World of Warships. They won't put the Rising Sun of Japan on the Japanese battleships because they think it's offensive.
Well, it is kind of a chink in their armor.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What? I mean, it's their battleships. I mean, their armor. So, hey, look, the white bus that's Vince McMahon, only 100 exist. They were created exclusively for the handpicked guests who checked into New York's ultra luxury Bearcat Hotel to celebrate Vince's
Baccarat.
Baccarat, whatever. Fucking New Yorker. This wasn't some casual birthday dinner. It was a lockdown event. NDAs everywhere, phones off, cameras banned. If you were in that room, you signed and stayed silent. If you weren't, you never saw a thing. But here's where it gets fun. I'm connected with people who didn't sign the NDAs. And because of that, you're looking at something the wrestling world has never seen posted anywhere before. This bust is the first peek outside the closed doors, and it's just the star guest list. Exactly as Seth is. You imagine Undertaker, Cena, Kane, McIntyre, The Miz, Maurice, JBL, Jerry Lawler, R-Truth, Slaughter, Bruce Pritchard, room full of wrestling royalty, toasting the man who built an empire in total secrecy. Here we go here. The bust isn't merch. It's a you were trusted enough to be here gift from Vince himself, something only 100 of his most loyal inner circle walked away with, meant never to leave that world.
Where's the fucking pencil mustache?
Right. I mean, that bust of Linda McMahon is awful.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. That might not be Linda McMahon. I was educated in the United States, so thank you,
Michelangelo's David. Michelangelo's David.
Yeah. Speaking of education, hello,
dear God.
Oh my,
that's a little Stratton. A little Stratton. I can understand this 100%. Rob, I can't understand this at all. Can you please nerd out here and tell me what the fuck this means?
Magic the Gathering card. And I love the Scott Steiner myth. Deal 8 1/3 damage to target creature. Damage equal to 25% of that player's life to that player. And gain 33 1/3 life. I love it. You only get 20 life in Magic the Gathering to start out with. This is the most complicated, confusing thing ever. It took me I had to read it 3 times. I love it. It's just so funny. It took me a while to figure it out.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad that you enjoy Magic. I prefer Penn and Teller myself or David Copperfield. But you know.
Well, we are in Vegas. We should go see that show.
I'm down.
They're only getting older, so we got to do this before one of them kicks the bucket. Teller's 77.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Some of us have seen him. Some of us do know him. King of the Ring.
That's awesome.
So glad Hulu rebooted this series. It's good to see all our favorites back. And funny enough, Beefcake's the only one who is alive.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, that's wow.
Yeah. Hey, remember that time Hulk Hogan was on a Saturday morning cartoon?
What the hell? Reeks of the 70s, that cartoon.
Speaking of reaching of the 70s, how about this from the 80s? The Iron Sheik and Hogan as Wham.
Oh, jeez.
That's 80s, but okay.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
That's what I said, Rob. Listen. Hillbilly Jim and Bob Probert, speaking of throwback to the 80s. Nice little thing of Undertaker and the masks from the 90s in WWE. Oh, hi, Markhausen.
Oh, hi, Markhausen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You tang the pot.
Tommy Wiseau, probably the most interesting person I've ever met. And that's probably the nicest descriptor that I can use. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, is...
Where did you meet him?
He's one of a kind. So one of the WrestleManias in New Orleans, I believe it was 34, the same weekend that was going down, they did a showing of The Room at a theater. And wow. Tommy Wiseau and Greg Sestero were there.
Holy crap, both of them.
There was a fucking Q&A with those two guys after the movie, and it was fucking surreal, dude. Like, yeah, Tommy Wiseau is
the disaster artist was supposed to be like the mockumentary about it, and the joke was he paid for that entire film in cash. Nobody knows where he got the money from.
Oh, yeah. Nobody knows. I completely buy that shit. I completely get that shit. Yeah. Yeah. Tommy Wiseau, very interesting guy and definitely one of a kind.
Well, speaking of one of a kind, Cody Rhodes, recently. Got a picture with his dad. It was nice to see Dusty around.
Oh, I don't know what to think on that one.
Hey, it's daddy. So, you know, on Facebook, when you get those ads, right, and then you have, like, it's advertising products from a certain page or company, and you kind of scroll to see what each product is. Well, so I'm scrolling on this from Cherry Kitten. Oh,
what the fuck? What
Let me guess, you bought 5 pairs, right?
Oh my God.
This is the first shot. Fill me with cum. Pair of booty shorts, right?
This is a wrestling show.
Well, hold on. Fill me with cum is the first thing I see, right? Then I slide to the next one. Daddy's cum slut, right? Makes sense. Then I slide to the next one. CM Punk.
What?
Yes. Swear to God. Every fucking thing on this was cum slut. The fucking, you know, or I'm a fucking, you know, and all of a sudden it's just CM Punk.
CM Punk. Maybe the Venn diagrams intersect between Daddy's cum slut and CM Punk's fan.
Hey, AJ.
Wait, how is AJ filling you with cum?
No.
You said, hey, AJ. That would mean she's filling you with the cum.
Those are some mantis for fucking Phil.
Phil is filling her with the cum. Jesus.
And I do call him Fragile Phil.
Well.
Phallic Phil.
Phallic
That's Phil. Right. Hey, great pictures here of me and Mark when he was a little boy. Steve Austin.
He's a ginger.
Big Bubba, the boss man as a kid, Cactus Jack, Hulk Hogan, Arn Anderson, Randy Savage.
They Arn all look the same. The only one who's like a little different is Bret Hart, but the other ones and Big Boss Man. But yes, yeah, I've checked the picture of that. Yeah. Cactus Jack, absolutely.
Oh yeah. Wow. Looks like Brian Wilson.
Oh, good call.
Yeah. And finally, Jerry.
Oh, God.
Be kind to each other.
All right. Rob, what you got going on?
I might be in prompt making an appearance on October. Let me see. 4th. 9 p.m. I might be on that show, but that is a great show with some of the Vegas Four Horsemen. And it is in Pahrump at the West Side Tavern, Vince Neil's Tattooado. And it is Stoner Rob and Flags going to be headlining, and you'll have Lex Las Vegas. And I might stop over there and make an appearance.
Okay. There you go. Steve, what do you got to say?
All right. Thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 10%.
That's right. All right, everybody. What can we say? We are tired. It is late. And that just makes me want to throw on a pair of...
DJ, I'm back in the booth so fine. White fuzzy slippers on the low-key rhyme. Spinning records till the break of dawn. And those slippers, he got it going on. Soft beats and faders never miss. In the booth, he's bringing bliss. White fuzz keeps him on track. Every beat, he's got your back. Oh, DJ, impact, feel the vibe. White fuzzy slippers every time. Grooving smooth, no fuss, no fight. In the lights, feel it right.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah! With that, everybody,
thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert nights. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.